sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of yore, so that I may remember who I am.
OCO, Gidalee, this is Will Bluewater, Prophecy Keepers Radio. Tonight is my special sister and Wolf Clan, Earth Thunder. She knew Rolling Thunder way before I did. I think she was the only person that Rolling Thunder even let doctor him. But anyway, she has limited time this evening, and I think Mark has a Mayan birth reading for her. Are you ready, Mark?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Traditional Mayan day count, she was born on a day called Seven Manik. And it's about catalyzing things. Kind of it can bring in an aspect of a certain testing things, almost like a finality of testing aspect to a completion and things like that. It's also tied in with forest, power of forest. So she probably feels pretty at home in a forest.
oh yeah,
and it. Probably even talks to some trees every once in a while. And it's also a sign that's in the Mayan glyphs, it looks like a hand with the first finger and the thumb connected. And that's a very important sign. It's also a symbol that's related to the healer, the great healer, because it's the hand symbol, the symbol of the hand and the healing. So... maybe do some healing through the forest power as well.
Oh, indeed.
So it's also in the center of a cycle, so it kind of is the fulcrum or the balancing point of the very first cycle that starts off the Mayan Zulcan calendar. So it's actually kind of the balancing point for that. And... now we'll see it again come up here, because I'm going to do this next part of the reading is going to be in the sixth Sun Zulcan, and it incorporates, it's like the Mayan Zulcan groan for our next cycle. And it has a forward flow of time, the way we normally perceive time, the backward flow of time that our five senses do not pick up on, but psychics and other people in the spiritual sense, you can tune into that backward flow. And then where these two time flows come together, create a balancing or a zero point. So we'll do the forward flow first. So this is going from your birth forward, and it's a nine manique. So we have the manique showing up again, except for it has the day number nine instead of the seven. And that's kind of interesting because this is a coupling with Blue Otter in a way, because the word manique has an eek on the end, and it has a nine. So that would be a nine eek. So that's Blue Otter's birth sign. So there's a connection there kind of between you and Blue Otter, sort of. And it's, again, the same thing with the hand and the healing energy. It's also in a centering energy as well, a balancing thing. So probably you do a lot of that, I would suspect. That kind of middle of things and balance things out, and you're kind of the fulcrum point between. You probably be good also at being a negotiator. Probably have done maybe your fair share of that as well. You have some eagle energy showing up here. And it's eagle energy. It's not just eagle energy. It's connected into Creator. And it's connected in the Creator specifically about healing, knowing, and an aspect of Inlakeshwar, Omotakiyas, and oneness. Everything is connected. And that's the ego energy is guiding that aspect to a certain extent. It's like a partnering energy with your birth. That's probably been with you since birth, or maybe even before birth. So that's on the backward flow, or forward. I mean, let's go to backward now. This one showing up as a house, a sun, and it's also one, so it's the beginning of that cycle. So it's and it's about. So this is something. These things I'm going to talk about now have probably been things showing up in your life. Usually when people, we say 1997, 98, a little bit before, a little bit after that, somewhere in that point in time, and from then till now, getting stronger. And that's a bleed over effect, or osmosis effect from the sixth sun world cycle moving into our cycle. So, and it's about courage, strength of courage, a lot with intent. So I wouldn't be surprised if you've been doing a lot of things about learning about how to focus on the power of intention and thought behind the intention. You've probably been getting a lot of that. Maybe even coupled actually in with literally with the sun energy. So, Sundance probably be pretty powerful thing for you. But it has a partnering energy here too of the path or kind of healing and herbs. And wisdom, opening up pathways, especially things with wisdom and the free will with people. So you probably could be, that's probably something where you can help or already have been kind of teaching people about some of those things as maybe a focal point. Mm-hmm. And also, very probably strong, probably a very powerful aspect, maybe throughout your whole life, but especially here on this time flow, service, helping others and stuff like that, has probably been a real important thing to you. I would say.
Yeah.
Especially the center of that cycle is a Kaban or a thought and movement glyph, also Earth. So it would be sun-earth connection with healing and, opening up pathways and stuff like that in service. So a lot there in connecting you and other people and working with them for healing, not just on people, physical level, but maybe on the earth-sun relationship and what's happening on the earth and the planet right now. So you might be interested in watching all the sun stuff with the earth-sun interaction, specifically between earth-sun magnetic field or the heliosphere of the sun. Now, where these two time flows come together, they create a balance or zeroing point. It's kind of like a doorway or movement from one world to the next. And yours is really all about unveiling things, changing things, transforming things. Its purpose of this change and transformation is kind of like things die and they change. Our cycle dies and a new one is born. And
right.
And it has, really has a focus on it of that aspect of Imakeshra oneness. It has Ak energy, which in the Mayan thing is the dog energy. He's the one that is Quetzalcoatl's partner that leads the souls through the underworld when they pass out of this world. So that's his name is Xuatl. You might be interesting. It's XO. How you spell? I can't think of it very good right now. But anyway, just look up dog of the Mayan or dog of the underworld. You'll find it. Starts with an X.
Mm-hmm.
Xuatl is his name. And now. Two other aspects are coming up here. The aspect of community is coming up here again, sort of, like we just talked about before, but even stronger here. But it's also linking it to ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, I would not be surprised with this. If you got a lot of ancestral energy working with you to help guide you through these changes and transformations and moving into this new cycle.
Definitely.
You probably got a bunch of them hanging around you. Yeah. And some of them aren't all Cherokee. I would suspect that there are some connections between the Cherokee and the Maya. And I would suspect that you have quite a few of them that are a little bit maybe more on the Mayan side of the fence, or even Aztec or other tribes down in, you know, Central America. Maybe even all the way down into South America. Maybe some Inca and some other guys in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Koji. and one of the aspects that they're probably going to be two things that they seem, maybe this may be where the ancestors are connecting in a lot, in aspects of things with balance and peace, those two things, especially in accordance with the community, communal cooperation and community and all that kind of stuff. So that seems to be, right? I'll wrap it up there and let you talk now.
Well,
okay,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
We usually preface that with, we're going to tell you why you do what you're doing. So it's usually a shock, but in the interest of time, we know that you're short of. Tell us what you've been up to for the last 20 years. No, just kidding.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, what mess do you want to get out right now?
Yeah, it's been really quiet for the last 10 years, and a lot of the things that I used to do, I used to have a schedule that I worked 7 days a week and traveled 6 days a week and did a lot of community events and plus had a very large healing practice and apprentices. I used to have 35 apprentices at the same time. And
wow.
And then 2000 happened and it started to slow down. And I'm not sure. As I talk to other shamans and other people who do like things as me, it has slowed down in their world as well. But it just seems like we're going through some very large change of how we go out and interact with people. And for me, being 69, I'm 69 this year, I'm grateful that I don't travel like I used to because that was very hard on me. But I do miss seeing all the people in the other parts of the world and have association with them. And the good news is now we have Facebook and emails and
yeah.
Those things. And I get to keep up with the people that I've met and the travels that I've gone through. But some things are easier. Some things are easier than they used to be. I no longer get checked on by the health department. And suggesting that I do something that's lucidivus. And now I have apprentices who come. I have four apprentices now. And It's a very lovely exchange to have the time to work with them. And so, and I have a lovely family that I spent a lot of time with, which I didn't get to spend time with when things were so busy and was going so fast. And I have two granddaughters, a great-grandson, and a wonderful fiancé to my one granddaughter that I consider my son. And it's just very lovely to be able to have birthday dinners and family gatherings that I'm able to attend. And that's all real wonderful. But I'm doing some things out at our state prison with ceremonies and rituals. I'm teaching a man that mentors the Native American population there. And that I'm real anxious to see how that goes. And because then that will be duplicated and it'll go through the private prison system. And that'll be wonderful. Health-wise, I'm doing really well, aging really well, and which is quite lovely, as it could certainly go the other way. So that's about what I've been up to.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, things. Can you imagine if Rolling Thunder had access to Facebook?
Oh my gosh!
I don't know. You know, he was in that generation where he didn't want to have a book. You know, back then, if you published a book, you were an outcast. Well, he was an outcast anyway, and he was treading lightly. But, man, things have changed.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, I mean, I had got on the Internet just shortly before he walked west. And so he knew about it. He knew it was coming.
Yes.
I guess there's the prophecy, you know, about the spider web around the earth. So, he knew things were bound to change.
Yes, and they have. I'm real excited to see where the fifth world, which we're now in, where things are going to be more about energy than about the physical brain, and I'm real excited to be a part of that. I'm real excited to be a part of consciousness, being a flow of energy, and rather than getting all mixed up in the brain's personalities and all of its adversities. And I really feel that is happening. I really feel that is happening, that the communications are getting easier and easier to flow between belief systems about how to understand how to take care of this wonderful planet that we're so blessed to have.
Well, just, you know, whatever time we've got left, just let your mind wander, and the time's yours.
Okay. I think the thing that keeps forefront for me at this time, and it has all through my history of 50-some years of healing and teaching, is how to help people understand how much they need a regular exercise of their spiritual and emotional life. That they exercise at the gym, they eat nutritiously, but you also need to equally every day have a spiritual devotion. You need every day to have an emotional cleansing, an emotional routine. And it's been put to the back for so many decades, so many generations, of how little importance the emotion is. And I think that this fifth world is really going to open up to showing the importance of emotion living in the belly, living with the fire in the belly, and so that you are less and less in this robotic mental state. And that's very important to me. It's very important to people as I look from my heart out to what I want for humanity and for the possibility that humanity could live without war and without the diversities. And that this equalization of what you focus on every day include the emotion and include the spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very important to me. The other piece of that is when I look at why more people aren't invested in the earth, invested in taking care of the creatures, and invested in taking care of the environment, I really feel it's because of this. It really touches their emotions, and it really touches their spirituality. And if your spirituality or your emotions are not being regularly exercised, it can be quite confrontive. I live in a neighborhood where I have 12 trees, and I'll tell you, it's a fight to keep my trees. There's always a neighbor that's got some issue with the leaves or got some issue with something about the trees, and I have to really come forward from a place of inclusiveness to understand their fears, to understand their way of perceiving things. And so far we've negotiated it out where I just prune a little bit and we all get along okay. But there's times when it gets kind of tight.
Maybe you just ask them, you know, probably, you know, when they were growing up, when they were a little kid, you know, maybe they love trees. Maybe they love climbing them. Maybe they still have some memories or something like that.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that's
maybe
what
you can
I've
use that
on.
And have them remember it.
Yeah, I've used that. And then I also use the financial end that Boise is such a booming city, and it's because of our massive amount of trees. And so I suggest to them that the worthiness of their house is really goes up by how many trees you have, and so that seems to get their attention. So I like that. I also am very invested in, like many leaders have been, that healing and teaching be available to everyone. That it's not exclusive to Native Americans, it's not exclusive to medicine women and medicine men, that it be available to everyone. That I think everyone has lived lifetimes where they've served the earth and served their tribe. And just because you're not living on a reservation in this life should not hold you back from being a healer or a teacher. And I get a lot of hate mail because I don't live on my reservation in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And it hurts my feelings at times to think that you're so biased that you can't see that we need to look at our planet as being for one people. So that's very important to me. And so as I go out into the schools and talk to the schools and talk to the children, I talk a lot about it being available to everyone. That this isn't just a Native American passage. It's very important to Native Americans, and Native Americans should never be forgotten in this, in their part, in their presence, in their dynamics of what they brought forward in the healing and teaching and the ancestors. But to make it exclusive, I think, is a very narrow-minded thing to do, and it hurts everyone in the end.
Well, you know, your verse glyph, the Manique, remember, said it was the hand?
Yes.
And one of the things some of the Mayan elders said was that we are like fingers of the hand. We, you know, one finger is white, one finger is black, one finger is red, one finger is Asian or yellow, you know, and but we all make up the hand.
Yes, of course. Of course, that's very good. Yes. Yes, and I think that has to be said over and over again, because I think that's easy to forget. Our economy, the capitalistic economy, is so white and so white bread and so exclusive that it takes a fair amount of challenge, to maintain that diversity and to maintain the equality. And yet without it, we're doomed. We're absolutely doomed. And so I think that's very important. So I hear from our Japanese friends from that wonderful trip I took to Japan way back in 2002, and they're recovering from the radioactive fallout that happened from Fukushima. And I think I'm saying that right. And recovering their land and recovering their families, and so I'm happy to hear about that. I still have quite a large following in Australia, and they're doing quite well, even though Australians, the government, put out, about 20 years ago, that they'd pay you to have children so that they could populate the land, because they have the same land mass we have, but half the population. And now their population is getting a little out of hand, and so I think they're cutting back, but they have a lot of Chinese involvement, and it's taking quite a bit to maintain their ancient ways and the brotherhood and sisterhood of the land. So I look forward to hearing from them. But I'm really happy, Blue Otter, to know that you're still thriving, and your message and your walk among the people is very important, and I acknowledge that in you, and wish to do everything I can to help you.
Well, what other things are you kind of doing for these? And like you said, things are changing, and you mentioned, you know, talking with the children and things, and kind of things that help move us into unifying, so maybe we can get through all this and not have it fall down on our head too much.
Yeah, I'm finding something that's really exciting for me. Boise is no different than a lot of larger cities where the education has become not so good. And so a lot of families that can afford it have been sending their children to parochial schools, because parochial schools have a better level of science and math. And what I find, the parochial schools are really breaking through in teaching ecology. And my little great-grandson, who's now in preschool, is learning about gardening, learning about animals, and learning about the environment. And that's really a breakthrough for religion. And I'm very enthused to know that that's happening for the children and for their families, because, of course, the children go back into the family and talk to their parents and their aunts and uncles. My little great-grandson corrected his grandfather. His grandfather was talking about the days when he used to shoot coyotes. And Oliver jumped up and said, "Well, you're not going to shoot them anymore." And he said, "Well, why do you care?" And he said, "Because I am coyote."
It's my clan. And you're shooting my brothers.
That's right. That's right. And so his grandfather said, finally, he was kind of disturbed by the whole thing. And then he said, "You know, I never stopped to think about why I shot them." And Oliver said, "Well, now we'll think about it, won't we, grandfather?" And so it was a wonderful interaction. And he was taught that at school, of all places. Now, of course, he gets that from me about the animals and so forth, but he was taught that at school. And so that's very exciting to me to hear that that's happening.
Wow. Well,
I'm very excited about the gay marriages, and I've done several marriages in the last year. And
wow.
I just think it's so important that there be equality among all people to find love and to find happiness. And our families should represent love rather than a mental consciousness. And it's been very helpful for the children that are in these families as they have brought in blended families. And so I find that very exciting.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, when you need to go, just let us know.
Yeah, I probably should go. I had another commitment this evening that
okay.
I've got to go to. But I love talking with you, and we'll just have to do it more often.
You bet. You bet. You can, you'll Mac will recontact you every few months or so, if you'd like to come on and bring your apprentices on to talk about things, we've got can have up to 6 people online at the same time, and we've had parties on here.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah,
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's great.
Thanks.
Well, I wish you so much love and give you a big hug and hugs to your family, and just glad that you're doing okay, and miss talking with you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks
all
a lot.
All right.
We'll be in touch. And good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, 7th great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember who I am.